Hey, what's up? Welcome in to the CHGO Bears podcast presented by PointsBet. Use that promo code CHGO to live your best life, your bet life too as well. And you can get up to two risk-free bets up to $2,000. What's going on, Bears fans? Adam Hogue, Nicholas Moriano. Almost forgot what show I was on for a second. Got a lot of things going on here. Not going to lie. This is technically our last post-practice recap show already of training camp. Isn't that crazy to think about?
It went by so quickly, but it also feels like it's time for training camp to be done with, Adam, yeah. Now that we're getting into preseason mode. So it's fitting. It's coming to an end.
There's kind of like this blur where training camp merges into what's really just called preseason time, I think. I don't know. But next week, the Bears are going to be moving to afternoon practices. Technically, we shouldn't even say it's not the end of training camp. They do have practices Saturday, Sunday, kind of the normal time that they've been doing them when they get back from Seattle. But we won't have a show until Monday. I mean, we will the rest of this week, but we don't have show Saturday, Sunday. So anyway, long story short is this is it for the post-practice recap shows.
I don't know what I'm going to do with this board now. Like, it's I know. Obviously I'll have different updates on it, but it won't say. I think that's the right number to practice 16. I've just been going by the emails that we've been getting in the day before. So if it's wrong, can't even put it on me.
Yeah, I want to say 15.
Hey, but I'm going off the email.
At some point you lose track, and that's all right. Welcome in, though. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, at Nicholas Moriano. The Bears were back in practice. We were not, but we have some things to talk about from this practice. Let me just start off with this, and then before we get to our best and worst. What the hell are they doing with the schedule to make the Bears do this crazy? Matt LaFleur was mad that the Packers had to fly out to San Francisco last week. Just like that alone. And his point is just like, look, it's the preseason. Like, we could schedule the games however we want. Like, why should we have to just make them more regional? And beyond that, the Bears are doing this on a short week. Like, I've never seen this short week thing in the preseason. And then on top of that, having to fly out to Seattle. So, honestly, the last couple of practices have been a little bit confusing in terms of what we've seen, who's been practicing, who's been not practicing. Flus tried to explain it today, and it just confused me more. He's like, yeah, the twos didn't practice a lot today because they're going to be playing more on Thursday. But then the ones got in there right at the end because they're not going to be playing a lot. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and he also said with, like, this Thursday game, it's good preparation for the Washington game that they'll have on Thursday night. So, you're trying to spin it in a positive way, but I'm sure you ask anybody. Even, like, Cole Kmet's like, yeah, it's crazy that we're playing a Thursday preseason game. And it is crazy to do that in such a short week and have to go no pads on Monday, pad it up today, then it's like a glorified walkthrough, and then you're there. It's game time. So, yeah, it's kind of a weird situation to be in, but Eberflus is like, hey, we'll use it to our advantage to help us for the Thursday game against Washington later in the regular season.
Yeah, it's just kind of weird that you have all this, you know, you have all this time between when camp opens to September 11th, the first game. Only three preseason games, and two of those games get crammed into 5 days. Like, I think that's the weird part. Like, it just seems like everything could be spread out a little bit more, but whatever. That's mainly the Bears' problem. As far as we're concerned, I'm actually selfishly happy about it because Thursday, it's going to be fun having a show Thursday night. We're going to have pregame at 6 o'clock, first pregame show, which will be awesome, and then right after the game, just like we did last week with the first preseason game, we will have CHGO Bears post game show and get you everything you need to know from the game. And you're going to be out there in Seattle, Nick. So your first road trip, good reps for you on the road in a short week.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I went to Seattle once before for a wedding. I was probably like 10 years old, so I didn't really get to experience like Seattle. I probably won't even get to do it, you know, on Thursday, but it'll be a good experience to get out there, see the Seahawks stadium, and yeah, go to open locker room again. So it'll be a good opportunity, and you'll definitely want to tune into the CHGO Bears post game show to check all that out.
Yeah, we're gonna get you at least a couple hours here to see some sights. I don't know what time you're flying in there, but you know, walk down by the water, go
to catch one of those fish.
Yeah, go to the pike market. I bought some crab legs there for Christmas last year because we just did our whole family Christmas Ooh. Out in Seattle because the Bears had really? That snow game oh. against the Seahawks. Remember? Nick Foles, baby. Never forget it.
What a game.
Yeah. So it should be fun, and you'll be out there. We'll be holding down the fort back in the studio and looking forward to that. All right. Best and worst of the day from this padded practice with weird groups and teams and players practicing different positions. Whatever. Nick, what do you got for your best?
Yeah, we saw it all today. Adam and saw nothing at the same time. But the best thing I saw was Tevin Jenkins, who was with the first team at right guard. He had a really good block on Nicholas Morrow going up to the second level. And if they counted Kahari Blasting game getting that touchdown down the right side, Tevin Jenkins had played a big part of, you know, opening that up and just kind of engulfing Nicholas Morrow, who did speak to the media after today's practice, but really good job of Tevin Jenkins to go to the second level and make that block.
Yeah, mine also has to do with Jenkins. I didn't really get a chance to talk about this yesterday because I wasn't on the show yesterday, but just, you know, we saw Jenkins work with the first team at right guard. I just feel like that's it. Like, that's the best thing I saw. Like, it's a good thing. It just seemed like after that game on Saturday that it was time to – they're still thin at guard, they're especially right guard. They don't necessarily have an obvious answer there. And either Larry Borum or Tevin Jenkins had to get used there. Like, mm-hmm. if maybe Jenkins still never works out for this team, but if he had just gone out the door or traded like all this talk was a couple weeks ago without not even trying him at guard, that would have been seemed like a missed opportunity. So he's getting that opportunity this week. It is common sense coaching in my mind. You have an opening at a position. You have a guy who can maybe play there. Maybe he's better suited there than at tackle. Get him in there. Let's see what he can do. And yesterday they eased him in there. Now he's getting first team reps, which I believe is the first time that he's getting first team reps at all in camp.
Yeah.
So this is his opportunity to do it, and it just makes sense. Now I'm going to quickly shift to my worst thing of the day because it also has to do with this. One-on-ones. Kamara just blowing by Tevin Jenkins in one-on-ones. So, look, it was just one play. It's not that big of a deal, but I think it's a good reminder that while this is a good opportunity, it makes sense. It's not going to be perfect right away at all, and I think we saw that in practice today.
Yeah, honestly, when you see 46 do that, you're like, one, let me check the roster to make sure that is Sam Kamara because we just, you know, he's not a big name, but he did blow right by Tevin Jenkins on that rep. Credit to Jenkins, who had a better rep against him the second time, which was a good to see.
Well, he still got beat off the ball, but he recovered. He
recovered. Yeah,
which think counts as a win, but he still was kind of beat
initially.
Off the snap initially. Good recovery. See,
that's going to be the thing. Yeah, good recovery. The worst thing I saw, Adam, was at one point in the team drills, and I don't know exactly what happened, but it seemed like a miscommunication on the snap between Sam Musfer and Justin Fields, where it looked like maybe Fields wasn't expecting the snap, but regardless, the ball ended up on the ground. It's like a wasted rep, and, you know, Adam was just saying, like, the ones didn't have many opportunities, a lot of reps, and they had to wait till the end of practice. So it's like, there goes one off the bat right there just because of a miscommunication, whatever it ended up being. But that was the worst thing I saw today, the miscommunication on the snap between Musfer and Justin Fields.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Let's stick to the offensive line. I know it's kind of been the story of the week, but it does matter. So I'm going to go to my overreaction of the day. All right. Classic overreaction. Is there a chance that Tevin Jenkins and Larry Borum are both starters week one against the 49ers?
Okay, you know what?
I'm just visualizing this in practice today. I'm looking at it, and I go, you plug Lucas Patrick in there at center, and there's a world in which I see this being the offensive line.
Okay, Adam, my overreaction is that one of those guys will not be the week one starter against the San Francisco 49ers. I'm leaning more towards Larry Borum.
Will
but
not
I could
be?
Not be the starter week one. But
who will be?
Riley Reiff. I still think it's still in contention there. I know he was at practice today, and he wasn't getting any of the reps. But Larry Borum, we've seen him work with the ones at one point, with the twos. He's been at the threes when Tevin Jenkins went up to the twos at right tackle. So he's been all over the place. And so I still think they're trying to figure that out. But there is a world, Adam, that you just mentioned, where it's very realistic that Larry Borum can line up right next to Tevin Jenkins and then also have Lucas Patrick there in the middle and be the starting offensive line for the San Francisco 49ers week one.
Well, look, Tevin's got to prove it. So I think this is a great opportunity for him. I hope he plays a lot on Thursday night to get him a lot of work, to give him an opportunity to show what he can do in that spot. I think it could potentially be a good fit. Now, Borum, I thought, played well against the Chiefs. And, you know, if he continues that against the Seahawks this week, yo, I know how these personnel guys think and look at this. Like, even though they didn't draft Borum, you're in a much better position for the future if those two guys win the jobs. Now, they have to win them. You can't just give it to them. But if you're in a world where Riley Reiff is your backup tackle at this point in his career, and same thing for Schofield, like, I think that's a good thing. You know, so I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I just think that there's definitely a scenario in which that plays out if Jenkins and Borum play well with this opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. If they play well, it's going to make it a lot tougher to keep them out of the starting lineup. I just look at, too, like, they kind of signed Reiff to a good deal, I would say. Like, what, he's making that 1 year up to $12.5 million with $10 million likely to be earned by him. So you kind of look at the money, too. Maybe for week one, is it Reef's job to hold on to until Larry Borum, I don't know, proves it more? Maybe.
Yeah, but wasn't what was the minimum on that again? On the contract?
Let's go into...
I think it was only like $3 million or something.
$3
million. If he doesn't reach certain incentives. So
I wonder what those are, but yeah. Again, there's a world where
I think
it works
playing
out.
Time incentives. So it's like, it's almost like,
there we go. Yeah. 10% of the offensive snaps, $4.5 million additional playing time bonus, to be determined for $2.5 million and a playoff berth, $2 million.
So once you read that contract, you start to realize like it's kind of built in a way where, all right, in a perfect world, we'll play you if we need to. And if we need to, then we'll pay you for that.
Yeah.
But it kind of protects the Bears in a situation where, you know, if he's just the backup, it's an okay, still an okay contract. I mean, that's the way I read that.
I wonder, too, if like the emergence of Braxton Jones at left tackle, where they initially had Riley Reiff on that left side, like, yeah, maybe this is where he'll line up. And Braxton Jones' play is just took him out of the equation, and now maybe there's not a spot there. But yeah, that definitely plays a factor into him making that money and whether or not he'll actually make it, because now you have to compete with Larry Borum on the right side.
Yeah, so just a scenario that I think we gotta pay attention to. Realistically, we'll see how it plays out. Those guys could go out in Seattle and struggle for all we know. Now, in terms of playing time against the Seahawks, it's going to be interesting. Hate to let you down, Bears fans, but because of the short week, Justin Fields ain't playing a lot. It sounds like he's only going to get 6 to 10 snaps in this game, depending on, you know, how the first series goes. Look, if they go on a 15-play drive, I don't think they're going to pull him in the middle of the drive, but then that's going to be it. Maybe more realistically, they go 3 and out a couple times, there's your 6. So somewhere in there, it's going to be 6 to 10, I think, and that coming from Matt Eberflus today with the starters. Now, that being said, I circle back on this, like Jenkins and Borum, they fall into the category of guys who need to play more. So, you know, is there a scenario where Riley Reiff starts the game still? Michael Schofield starts the game? Maybe that's why they were being but see, this is why I was confused, Nick, because if that's the case, then that doesn't explain why they weren't practicing more today, because Eberflus said the first teamers got more reps today because they're not going to get a ton of reps on Thursday. It's not adding up. I was trying to run this by people afterwards too, and I'm like, this doesn't make sense.
That, and then we were kind of talking a little bit too. It's like, okay, if they're not in, why is Cody Whitehair in right now? It's like, it's just there's a lot of things that are, I don't know, they're just trying to figure out on this short week. I'm sure it's getting to them as well, but I guess we'll see the very first series against the Seattle Seahawks, what the Bears are thinking.
Well, the fact that Cody Whitehair is still in there, though, is why I think the door is open to definitely Schofield and Reef, too, I think, being backups.
Yeah.
Sure. I think they're giving these guys an opportunity, with these younger guys an opportunity, because you're right, because if they're just trying to hold the veterans out because it's a short week, it doesn't make sense that Whitehair's in there the whole time. I think it's actually because Whitehair's job's cemented in there, and I'm not so sure it is for the other guys.
Yeah, and just kind of going back to Tevin Jenkins real quick, Adam. Like, I think the first thing that everybody thinks of with Jenkins and, like, the positive of his game is that physicality. But he's obviously going transition from right tackle to right guard, and intellect has come up a lot these past 2 days. You heard it from Eberflus. You heard it from Trevor Siemian. You heard it from Cody Whitehair and how he's able to kind of just pick this up and now is getting the first team reps at right guard. And Michael Schofield by no means is an elite level center. He's a veteran who has experience, and that goes a long way. But now you can see why Jenkins, you add the intellect with the physicality and the athleticism, why he's at least getting an opportunity, at least these past two practices, to get reps with that first team unit.
Yeah. I think this is a good problem. I think it's better than the alternative right now. It's certainly better than a couple weeks ago where, you know, we're wondering and we're talking about if Jenkins is even on the team. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's still kind of how it played out at the tackle positions. But there's a scenario here where maybe he's the guy that emerges at guard. Or it's all a moot point if he struggles. So, got to prove it. And it's probably the biggest storyline that we're going to see Saturday in Seattle.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I see people are obviously not a mixed bag, but I think mostly positive that at least having Jenkins is in the equation, which, like you said, a week ago, it seemed like the furthest thing that Tevin Jenkins would even be a part of this team, be in the mix. But as a former second-round draft pick, he's making it, I guess, a little tougher to kind of get rid of him.
All right, I want to tell you about our friends at PointsBet. We're getting into football season here, and PointsBet Sportsbook is counting down the days until the football season with a new offer every day until the season kicks off. From now until September 8th, PointsBet Power Hour will unlock a new daily offer from 12 to 1 p.m. Central. Sign up for PointsBet now using code CHGO to also get risk-free bets up to $2,000. Don't miss out on your chance to get daily access to free bets, boosted odds, and so much more now through September 8th. But that's not it, because if you make a $51 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content. You'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. Download the PointsBet app today. Use code CHGO to take advantage of this limited time offer. Don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services.
And Chicago sports fans, if you aren't a member of our CHGO family, what are you waiting for? Members will have access to all of our premium content from all of our great writers. You also get a free t-shirt of your choice if you're just watching on YouTube. You saw a couple of those come onto your screen. You could become a member. You get one of those free shirts. And you get access to the members-only Discord, the CHGO Lounge. And, of course, we have podcasts and live shows like this one on every team every single day. Now that football season is here, the preseason is underway, going to make sure you want to hit that bell notification on YouTube to know every time we go live and break down a game or if we're previewing one. Going to make sure you're tuned in for that. So all those great reasons, you have to come join this amazing family that's constantly growing here at CHGO.
Just want to give you guys some breaking, surprising news that no one could have seen coming. Zach Wilson's knee surgery this morning was a success.
Ooh.
Remember, they never tell you if they're not successful, but I'm glad that we always put out every time that it's a success.
Man, that's got to be a scary situation. I can't imagine if that was.
I remember being told that Tariq Cohen's knee surgery was a success.
Yeah, that did not turn out to be the case at all.
This is one of my favorite things, I think, in sports. This surgery was a success.
Good.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Let me know when it's not a success, because I'm sure you will.
I'm sure you're going to announce that.
According to Rap Sheet, though, Zach Wilson still has week one in play. No surprises. They'll be cautious until he's 100%. So they did the meniscus trim, which allows you to come back earlier, but then it means that you don't have as much of your meniscus in the future, so something to monitor in the future with Zach.
I've always found that so weird, Adam. Like, we're just going to trim your meniscus and, you know, you'll be fine. You can go play sports with that. It's just, you know, we're just going to take a piece. Whatever. It's always been a weird concept to me, but hey, it works and it makes a longevity of some of these guys' careers obviously last, but always been a weird concept to me.
Yeah, Rap Sheet already backed off the week one thing. Now he's saying maybe it won't be week one, reminding everybody that there is a bone bruise involved, which I can tell you from experience and did last year when Andy Dalton suffered his bone bruise in his knee. I was actually surprised Andy Dalton came back as fast as he did, because that is an extremely painful injury, especially for the first few days. And it took me like 6 weeks before I was right. So now, as we talked about last year with Andy Dalton, if you're getting constant treatment like 24/7 from an NFL staff, PT, OT, whatever you want, everything involved, you're probably going to come back faster. But there is the bone bruise aspect of it too, which he may not even be fully recovered from by week one. So anyway, we might still get our Zach Wilson, Justin Fields matchup though later in the year, because I think that game's in December.
Yeah, I hope we do, because that's a storyline that we've been talking about this whole offseason. You know, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson. You bring up Andy Dalton real quick, Adam. I know there's been reports out of the Bears and, was it the Saints? Or the Bears. Packers and Saints are having those joint practices right now, and apparently Andy Dalton's not having too much success against that Packers defense. Said there's not a lot of windows to throw into, constant pressure, and a bit of a tough time for Andy Dalton in Green Bay.
So is Jameis out right now? Is that what's going on?
Good question. I have no idea.
Okay. I feel like I saw that he was. He's not participating in drills. He's still out day to day with sprained foot. So it's the Andy Dalton show against the Green Bay Packers.
We've seen that before.
All right. Matt Eberflus spoke to the media today, which he doesn't do every day. So, and it was really the first time we talked to him since last Thursday, I think, before the preseason game. I mean, he talked after the game, but I'm just talking about one of these post practices. So, Roquan Smith, still a discussion. Obviously, there was the weird stuff yesterday about this rogue agent. The NFL actually having to send out a memo to teams about it. Not a great situation. Not great. Not really even a great look for Roquan Smith. And, I asked Matt Eberflus today, hey, it's been a week since he was taken off PUP. Hasn't practiced. Is he getting, is he facing team discipline for that? And head coach said he's not going to reveal in any situation if there's team discipline, which I guess I sort of understand, but I think there's also an accountability factor that you have to have with players who miss practice. And it would be nice to know, like, hey, is it still an amicable situation where he's not practicing, which certainly would go against them taking him off of PUP a week ago.
Yeah, it's interesting. I remember just last year, the last regime with Nagy, like, you heard the whole Jalen Johnson. Now, I think it was late to practice, and we all knew about it. It was public, like, when he got disciplined. And obviously, Eberflus has his own philosophies on how they're going to approach that, but he was there. Roquan Smith was in attendance for today's practice, so he's there even despite everything that's going on with Roquan Smith, 58. and everything's dealing with having people call their teams. It's a weird situation.
Well, let me ask you this. Like, does it bother you?
That he's there or that...
No, that there's... It's become this big of a problem that he's got... I mean, the NFL's putting a memo out about tampering.
I mean, it seems like, for me personally, it's like Roquan's his grown-ass man. He could do business however the way he wants. But to me, I mean, how Eberflus said, it's like, hey, their guys are still coming in focused. Nicholas Morrow was asked about what's that situation like. It's like, hey, he's still coming into meetings and things like that. So it's a leader of your football team. Yes, you wouldn't want it handled this way. But it's still a football team you got to worry about here. You can't just worry about Roquan. It has gotten out of hand, no doubt. But I feel like the team is still moving forward despite all the circus acts that are kind of going on right now.
Well, yeah, I think that can be true at the same time. I just think it's I think you have to seriously wonder about the long-term implications of this thing. You know, with each new piece of information we get that seems to be complicating things, mm-hmm. whether it's him putting out a statement with accusations about the new front office coming off PUP, then not practicing, and then apparently having somebody work for him that is contacting other teams. There's just a lot of things that seem to be happening that, in the course of a negotiations, you try to keep things civil. Mm-hmm. And I'll repeat what I've said before. The whole thing, like, this seems too soon. The accusations, that statement, the trade request, it all seemed like that's the type of stuff that happens when it gets to like a boiling point where like the rubber meets the road. Hey, I'm not playing. Hey, we got to make this work. And this isn't a franchise tag situation. Again, like, I feel like we have to remind people of that. He's under contract this year.
Go ahead, Adam.
Just with the tag, you don't have to sign it. So you're not under contract if you don't sign it. This is a different situation.
I just wonder at what point for the Bears on their end, we're like, this is enough. Like, you know, you've done all the things that you just mentioned. Where are you just going to start? And maybe they are doing it, and they're just not disclosing it, but fining and just kind of having a firm stance on this Roquan situation, because this is a new regime. And yes, he is the best player, but looks like they're trying to cooperate, and it seems like Roquan Smith and all the things that have happened since then, since that statement's gone out, it seems like it just is not a civil, like you said, a civil situation at this point. So I just, at what point where the Bears kind of put their foot down and say that's enough?
Yeah, and I don't know that. I mean, theoretically they could have.
Yeah, they could have.
You know, I mean, Roquan could still be showing up, but I don't know. It seems like it's an awkward situation. Nicholas Morrow said today it's not awkward. You know, they just talk about football things in their meetings, and I guess we just have to take them for their word on that. But Roquan will travel to Seattle with the team. My guess is because, again, he's expected to. He's on the team. You have a seat on the plane. You don't show up. It's not an excused absence. You know what I mean? Like, I just, it's a very weird situation.
I wonder if they are also thinking, can we, I don't know if you want to extend this into the regular season, but once games start getting played and if things are to get sorted out, can you almost like cover this up, like, and then have something situated, have a contract in place, and now you're playing games, if you get what I'm saying. So then, like, it's not the biggest story, like, hey, we got to go play week 1 against the 49ers here. Like, that's the big story, and then you can almost bury it later. If you wait a little bit, I don't know. But
you're saying in that situation, he's still not playing?
No. If they figure something out and then the regular season happens, now, like, that's behind us. We got through this, whatever this was, and now you're playing games, so you don't have to talk about it right now during preseason. Because we talked about the Bears wanting to control the narrative, and he's only going to speak Roquan if he practices. Can you hold off a little bit till regular season? And then, like, maybe that's a little bit behind. Obviously, it was still a bit asked about it, but now there are regular season games being played.
I mean, the second the contract gets negotiated, it's just going to be a celebration. I don't think it'll be a distraction at that point. I mean, I think everybody in this entire situation would love if he would sign a contract tomorrow and play Thursday in Seattle. You know, now they probably wouldn't do that because he hasn't practiced. But I'm just saying, like, and there seemed to be a push from, I mean, I noticed one of the quotes that Ryan Poles had in his radio interview on the pregame show on Saturday was like, yeah, let's get through this game and then hopefully we can figure something out. You know, it almost like seemed hopeful that they could turn something around this week, but obviously that hasn't happened yet.
No, we just won't know. We just won't know, Adam. Let's see. We have about 30 minutes left in the show. I think this is a good opportunity to tell everybody about this little protein shake that I did not get to drink today, which sucks because, I don't know, I don't know about you. I always leave my lunch in that fridge, and then I have to go get it the next practice. And if you're watching the show, you'll know this little brand right here is OWN, which stands for Only What You Need. This brand is a 100% plant-based protein company that gives you high-quality and carefully selected ingredients to help keep you functioning throughout your entire workday, and especially after an intense workout. In these protein shakes, you get your vegan omega-3s or green superfoods like broccoli, kale, and spinach. And all these amazing ingredients just reinforce what OWN stands for, only what you need. What's cool is that we first heard about OWN from Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields, who does follow a plant-based diet. OWN and CHGO have partnered up to give you an awesome offer. When you use the code CHGO20, you get 20% off your first purchase at liveowen.com. So join here at CHGO and join us and Justin Fields, OWN, and use that code again, CHGO at liveowen.com, because it's only what you need.
Yep, and want to make sure that you guys know everything we got going on at CHGO. You know about our daily shows here on this show, but also all of our shows, White Sox, Cubs, Bulls, Blackhawks. We got our post-game shows rolling finally for the Bears. And, hey, tonight's a great night to be tuning in for the White Sox. I'm not saying the game. I'm still not. I mean, everyone's hyping up this game. It's Dylan Cease versus Verlander. I have prepped myself for being let down. But what I know I will not be let down by is Sean and Herb and Vinny and the whole crew bringing the heat before and after the game right here on CHGO. So you know we got all that stuff for you. And then we have our members-only platform, which is great. My newsletter, Bears Things newsletter, coming out tomorrow morning. So if you're not already signed up, get signed up. All CHGO, become a member, subscribe to the Bears newsletter. You will get that in your inbox from me directly tomorrow morning, right around 8 o'clock. And I can tease this. I had a conversation with Luke Getsy, the Bears offensive coordinator, about Tevin Jenkins, about Justin Fields, about what it's like coaching under Matt Eberflus, why he wants to coach from the sidelines and not up in the booth. So a lot of good stuff in there in the newsletter tomorrow. And that's the type of content you can come to expect from CHGO by becoming a member at allchgo.com. So make sure you're checking that out. All right, time for our last segment today. And I do like the comment from Matt Nagy, whoever that actually is in the world. He says, La Russa is better than Eberflus. Well played.
That's a stretch. My parents will be at the game tonight, so hopefully the White Sox can pull off the victory. It's going to be a
good
pitching
matchup.
I'm
sorry for them in advance.
I know. Should be hopefully a good game.
Although I think the White Sox are the last team who beat Justin Verlander.
Ooh, okay.
Fun fact. I'm just assuming they won that game 1-0. All right. Let's get to some questions, which we kind of keep throughout the show. And we'll throw them up here in the final 10 minutes or so of the show today. Fire through your questions here at CHGO. Sarah, if we got those, we can start throwing them up and flying through there, except for that one I see that we're definitely not going to answer. Adam says, would you rather have Roquan or Claypool in a second round pick?
I have to go back and see the stats for Chase Claypool.
The only thing I remember from Chase Claypool is him signaling for a first down prematurely when the clock was running out. And it was like, no, I'm good after that. I shouldn't base a whole thing on one play, especially for wide receivers, but that one always left a bad taste in my mouth.
When did that happen? Was that like an, obviously they were down, but like
I don't know, it was mid last season.
Okay. Trying to pull up the stats here. I'd rather go with Roquan. I know what Roquan is. Just needs to get a new contract.
Yeah, I mean, Claypool had a great first season, 9 touchdowns, but then his stats were like nearly identical last year, but without the touchdowns. Mm. So I think he's solid, but I don't think he's on. I don't think he's as good of a wide receiver as Roquan Smith is as a linebacker. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What's up with these Notre Dame guys not getting touchdowns? Like Cole Kmet? No, I'm just kidding. He had nine as a rookie.
Season.
I know. Last season, they both collectively had 0.
Well, no, he still had 2 touchdowns last year. He didn't have as many touchdowns.
So they had 2 touchdowns.
So, Sarah, I'm sorry, I missed that last question that was up there. Would you guys think week 3 is the dress rehearsal? I think we all, as fans, consumers of football, need to understand that. I think it's not so much on a set schedule like it used to be. A couple things have happened. Obviously, lost the 4th preseason game, so everybody's kind of adjusting accordingly. But even on top of that, before that, you were starting to have different teams vary on their preseason routines and playing habits. It didn't go from what used to always be. Like, it didn't matter what the team. It used to be starters play 1 to 2 series in the first game, maybe the first half. In the second game, 3 quarters in the third game, and then nobody plays in the 4th game except for like the people you're going to cut. Now I think teams are adjusting, and you're seeing that from Matt Eberflus here, I think in a smart way, and he's also doing it more of on an individual basis. This is a weird situation having a short week like this and only 2 practices in between the games. Traveling out to the West Coast, it's not ideal. It's not ideal. And so I think, I guess I would hope that you're going to see the starters play more in Cleveland. But part of me would still be surprised if it's like, I would say, if I'm guessing, I don't think they play more than a half, and it might not even be that much.
Yeah, it might not be, Adam. And two, like, Matt Eberflus talked about how young this team is, so he just wants to get them reps. So you have to factor that into it with this being the 3rd preseason game. So there's a lot of different factors coming into, you know, how Eberflus will kind of approach this. But I think, like, a guy like Tevin Jenkins, who's new at the right guard position, it would only do him good to continue seeing live reps there. So, yeah, individual basis, but we'll have to just wait and see on that one.
All right, next question. Brisker to become Rookie of the Year. It's something we brought up. I mentioned it for points bet purposes. You know he's going to be on the field. I mean, barring injury, of course. But unlike some of these other rookies, you don't even know how much they're going to play. George Pickens looks like a great pick for Offensive Rookie of the Year until you consider who his quarterbacks are. Like, there's an uncertainty there. There was a small nugget that Nicholas Moreau brought up today in his press conference that I thought was interesting. He said that even though you keep things pretty vanilla in the preseason, that they had specific things that they did to bring Brisker downhill and blitz him and you basically take advantage of his talents. I think that that's something you're going to see continue in the regular season. So, Defensive Rookie of the Year, I think he's in the conversation.
Yeah, and maybe once the season actually starts, he'll get in the mix in some of these NFL.com articles that put the 10 top 10 candidates. And there are some really good defensive players, and we've actually talked about this before on the show, but he already made so many flash plays you know, first preseason game. And that's, again, vanilla kind of stuff. And once you start scheming things and have things set up for, you know, some of your players, I think you're just going to see more of the instincts that we've seen all throughout training camp kind of pop out for Jaquan Brisker.
All right, moving on. Okay, very personal question from Jake. Hoger, are you going to be in the press box this season or are you going to be in studio? No, I'm going to be in studio. Nick is our guy in the press box. I'm going to be holding down the fort back in the studio pre and post game. That's the plan. I'm excited about it.
Be very different for you.
It is very different. Saturday was different for me. Thursday night will be different, but it's honestly fun. So, yeah. Jesus says, do you really think Roquan wants to stay, or is he not wanting to waste another rebuild year?
No, I think he wants to stay. I think, like, initially that's what it was, but at this point, I don't know how much that's changed with everything that's going on. I think initially, like, he wanted to get something done. At this point, I couldn't tell you, but the actions speak louder than words, right? And, like, everything that's happening, who knows at this point? But I think initially, yes, Roquan wanted to be a Chicago Bear. Wanted to get something done.
I still think he does, because I think if he was really dead set on never playing another down for the Chicago Bears, he would not be there. That's true. I think he would, you know, really hold out, not be around his teammates, not be there at all. You know, even if it came with fines, you can negotiate your new deal, some extra money to pay those fines. I think that it's I still think his actions, including showing up to Soldier Field on the day you put out a statement saying that you were, and that was when he was on PUP, so he didn't have to practice. I'm not convinced. I think he's doing a bad job of convincing not only us, but the Chicago Bears, that he really does not want to play for them anymore, which is why I think in a lot of ways Ryan Poles is calling his bluff.
Good point.
Andrew says, unless that's supposed to be Andrew, Andre. Is it Andre? I don't know.
Yeah, Andre.
Could be Andre. Sorry. Yeah. Apologies. Imagine Mooney gets hurt. No, I'm not going to imagine that. Who is a quality receiver? I mean, that could...
Quality?
Can we rephrase questions here? Like, why couldn't that question just be, besides Mooney, who else do the Bears have at wide receiver? Why does he got to get hurt?
That, good point. But if he had to go to a number two, if Mooney was not available, I mean, you're going to Equanimeous St. Brown right now. We haven't seen Byron Pringle in, man, it's been at least 4 to 5 practices now. Maybe, Adam?
It's been longer than that.
I guess.
It feels like a week and a half, at least, if not 2 weeks. It's been a while.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be updating the wide receiver power rankings in tomorrow's newsletter, so you can be checking that out. But I think based on what we're seeing in deployment, Equanimeous is still the guy. I think in terms of what we're seeing in terms of production and actually making plays, I mean, Tajay Sharp certainly showed up. But then he hasn't practiced the last couple of days. So I don't know how much that balances out. Velus and Kyler Gordon have been back in practice. I haven't noticed Velus do a ton the last couple of days, though.
No, he hasn't been he hasn't been utilized too much in the offense coming back from whatever injury he was dealing with. So yeah, maybe a ramp up period.
He said we had to ask the head coach, and the head coach says he won't answer it. So, by the way, Kyler Gordon will play in Seattle. So, and that's cool for him because he's from the area, played at Washington. Good chance to get on an NFL field for the first time. Dominic Super Chat wants a job. I apologize, Dominic. You're asking the wrong people here. Thank you so much for the Super Chat, but I do not know where you go to apply for a job, especially if you're a data scientist.
Didn't the Bears just hire a data scientist? Was that last year or this year? I don't know. I remember
maybe
that
the
was
Bears. Like, yeah.
They had a LinkedIn thing where looking for a data scientist, like for the Bears. Like, oh, cool.
Next question. How impressed on the draft class performance overall for Flus and Poles? I mean, I think the early returns are good. The first impressions, as I like to call them. Long way to go. But preseason games, individual performances mattered a lot, and that was a good start for the draft class on Saturday, I think.
Yeah, and unfortunate for one of the guys, Doug Kramer, Matty Eberflus talked about him today in his press conference, say he did have a lower leg injury. Again, no timetable to return, so one of the guys from the lower from this draft class that may miss some significant time.
Well, and if Flus is offering that up, then that means he's going to be out for a while because that's been his MO here early on. He's not a day-to-day guy. He's going to be, you know, he's going to miss more time. And I think this is one that potentially could be season-ending depending on what the results come back as. So, all right, let's take like maybe two more, and then we'll call it a day here on the CHGO Bears podcast. Nicholas asks, after watching training camp and one preseason game, who are you most excited to watch in week one? We're skipping games here. We're going all the way to week one. Well, I'm gonna actually give a controversial answer here, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Justin Fields is who I'm excited to see week one against the 49ers.
I'm going to go with Jaquan Brisker. Excited to see him. I mean, yeah, no, it makes sense. Everyone wants to see what Fields can potentially do in this offense, and with Luke Getsy actually scheming up plays, because everything's very vanilla in the preseason. But want to see what this looks like with the not a finished product, but this new product on the field against San Francisco 49ers.
All right, last one. What do we got here? Do you think they're hiding Fields in the preseason? Well, that would be in... here's why I was actually... This is a good question. Jagger is the one who gave us this one. I was thinking about this a little bit earlier when I was driving back from practice, because yesterday you had the offensive coordinator say that he needs game reps, that Justin Fields needs game reps. Then you have the head coach today saying he's willing to play 6 to 10 plays in the game that they have Thursday. Now, that is understandable considering it's a short week. It is and it isn't, because it's not like he played a full game Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not quite a full short week. That would be a Sunday game to Thursday. On a true short week in the season, you don't even really practice. You have, like, walkthroughs. So they did have two practices. Granted, they were a little bit shorter, but they were in pads today. Okay, so I sort of understand. Here's what I'm going to say. I understand the decision to limit the reps in this game as long as they're made up for in Cleveland next week. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Need to play more next week. So to answer your question, if the Cleveland game comes around next week and they still don't play a lot, they being the starters, Justin Fields especially, then I don't know if I completely agree with that. And I would say that they're probably – I don't think they're hiding Fields so much as they would be hiding the scheme.
Yes.
And trying to keep the 49ers guessing and not give up too much, which is a weapon they do have in their back pocket. But, man, I think that what's more important than being so paranoid about that is to make sure your quarterback is getting the reps he needs in game action.
Yeah, and Adam, you asked Andrew Janoco today about listening to your feet. You're going to listen to your feet and where you're going to go with a given play if you're getting game reps. It's like, yes, you could do it in practice, but you don't have guys that are actually going to hit you. So I think that does weigh heavily in what the Bears want to do and how it ultimately helped Justin Fields.
All right, good stuff today. Appreciate everybody watching, listening. Make sure you're following us on social at @CHGO_sports_Bears. We will be back tomorrow. Even though tomorrow's an off day for the Bears, we will be back tomorrow to preview the game. We'll go in depth with players we want to watch and get ready for Thursday night's preseason game against the Seattle Seahawks. So make sure you're checking us out, allchgo.com. Again, if you want to get the newsletter tomorrow in your email, allchgo.com. If you're a member and you're signed up, you should get it anyway. If not, get on there, get those memberships. You can get the first month for 50 cents. And appreciate everybody supporting us at CHGO. We'll be back tomorrow. Talk to you then.